Okay, good enough. Well, as Pat said, as of August 1st, I started my new role, district superintendent. Before that, I was the church planting director for our district. Our region is Utah, Nevada, Northern California, and Hawaii. And so I oversee about 100 churches in those areas. And I had the great privilege and joy of being a part of this one when it started. How many years ago now? Is this church 12 years old? Wow. Boy, off track of time. But Steve and I had known each other from the church. He was part of my church up in Evanston, Wyoming, which is just across the Utah border, in Wyoming, just on 80. And so it was a lot of fun working with him on this. And just it's always neat to be able to come back. Know that we pray for you guys, and we're here to help in any way we can, and to make sure that God continues to use you here in the community of South Jordan. Speaking of which, well, let's go. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. So if you would look with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But what is the difference between unity and similarity or uniformity? I want to talk about that for just a little bit. Our gal who was playing the piano, I think she went out. She did a great job. She was awesome. My daughter plays the piano, and that's one thing I miss about her being in college is her playing the piano in her home, because it's just just wonderful. Now, if I were to go to the piano, on the other hand, and begin to play you something, about the extent of my skill would sound like this. There you go. And sometimes I don't even get the tempo right. But for sure, no more than one note. The way my daughter or your gal who was playing the piano, what was her name? Grace? Okay. The way Grace was playing the piano was, I would call that unity, because she used all these different keys, and she brought it all together in a beautiful song. And I loved your worship team did an amazing job this morning, by the way, just awesome. And it was especially fun for me, since I knew Brianna when she was like this, and now to see her up here leading worship, it's just like, wow. But that's fun. But that's unity to me, because you've all these different keys. They all have different notes, and you have different tempos, and all these differences you're bringing together in a beautiful melody. What I do is uniformity. I use one key. That's not very very pretty, is it? Just yeah, whatever. That's uniformity. That's similarity. For most of our ministry, we lived here in Utah. Well, as you know, this is a culture that puts a high value on uniformity, where we're supposed to look the same and think the same and talk the same and believe the same. And there's validity to that to some degree, but the unity is what I want to focus on this morning. Now, if unity is based on similarity, and very much, very often it is, instead of unity giving freedom for diversity as it should, if unity is based on similarity, there are going to be some problems that that creates. First, it's going to create inferiority. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 16. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. So how does that work? Well, what happens is this. You're a hand, because what you like to do is to serve others. So you're a hand. And the problem is that you find yourself in a church that doesn't really care about serving. What it cares about is prayer. What it cares about is the deeper life. This particular church that you find yourself in is a knee. Okay? Here's the problem. If you're in a church where you care about serving, but nobody else does, they only care about this other area, you have a great big kneecap. And what you begin to feel is like there's something wrong with you because you don't have the same burning passion for prayer groups. You know they're good, you know they're important, but you make yourself feel inferior because you care about evangelism. You ever seen that happen? You've got a group of people who think prayer groups are the thing. I'm not degrading prayer. Okay, I'm just using this as an example because there's all kinds of ministries out there where churches just, they focus on different things. Whether it's the way they teach the word, whether it's the way they serve, whether it's the way they pray, you have different churches that have different emphasis. But you feel inferior because you care about evangelism. And if you're in a church where people are just completely focused on prayer, and someone comes in and says, yeah, but what about the world? What about our neighbors? And they're almost seen as being shallow because they're not focused on the deeper life. And so the hand ends up going around saying, boy, I wish I was a knee. I wish I was like that. And you entirely miss the whole dynamic of the body that God has placed you into to have the concerns that He has put on your heart. Why is it that when God has placed me and into you, a certain dimension to minister, a certain desire to minister in different dimensions of ministry, that we feel a need to devalue either what we do or what others do? In verse 17, the Apostle Paul continues on. And he says, you just don't get it, do you? He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You're a hand, but you want to be an eye. God put you where you're at to be a hand, if you're a hand. Sometimes we look at churches who have an emphasis, maybe it's preaching or evangelism, worship, whatever it is, and we look at that, wow, that's a real strength. Maybe what we ought to understand about the individual bodies of Christ that are out there is that if it's unbalanced in that one area, maybe it's not a strength. Maybe it's a weakness. Because the body has just become a great big eye. Or a great big brain. Or a great big mouth or a great big ear. There are some churches that are functioning so well in the area of deeper life, like I said, that their body's a knee. Some of them are functioning so well in the area of social issues and serving that the whole body is a hand. Some are so in division and they have such a perception of the lost that they are nothing but an eye. And some are so much into the charismatic work of the Holy Spirit that the body looks like a great big tongue. How do we balance it out? How do we balance it out? I don't think the answer for gaining balance is for the person who cares about the deeper life to quit caring about the deeper life so everybody else can catch up. The answer is for everybody who cares about the ministry that God has called them to, the ministry that God has called you to individually, because He has, believe me, to do that. Yes, do catch up with the eye, do catch up with the ear, do catch up with the knee. But the bottom line is do what God has called you to do in the body. As a lifelong church planter, you know, that's pretty much all I've ever done until now. It would have been easy for me to say, forget about all these other ministries. Planting churches is where it's at. No. You know what? While I can plant churches, I find it very difficult to take an existing church and pastor that. I'm not wired for that. I envy those who can stay in the same place for years. You know, I think Steve and Lori did a wonderful job of remaining here for 12 years and pastoring this church. I couldn't do it. Not because you aren't wonderful people. I think you are. I could easily stay with people like you for that long. The problem is the wiring inside of me. It's like I'm once I get a church planted, I'm bored and I want to go off and plant another one. That's how God has created me. That's my value within our movement, within our association of churches, is that I help to get churches started and other people come in and then they pastor. See, we all have a part in the body of Christ. So you have inferiority. But there's another problem. You also have superiority. When similarity and unity are mixed up, there are some who feel superior because they're eyeballs. In verses 15 to 20, Paul is addressing the fact that some of them feel inferior. On the contrary, in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now that brings me to something else as well. I'm sure you have come across those people who claim to be Christians, but they don't belong to a church. They don't belong to a local body. They may have any number of excuses which I always find in those excuses somewhere that, well, everybody in churches are a hypocrite. Well, yeah, so. I'm a hypocrite. I'll freely admit it. You know, I had a friend in Sacramento who encountered a guy like that, one of his friends at work, and Joe was his name, and his response was, well, do you view church as a house of saints or a hospital for sinners? And his friend said, well, a hospital for sinners. And Joe said, then why do you expect so much out of us? And it's like, oh, wow, okay. We have faith in Christ. We're trusting in His grace. We're trusting in His power to live the Christ life. But you know what? We continue to sin. We continue to mess up. As long as we're on this side of heaven, that's going to be our story. Relying on Him. Relying on His victory. Well, those particular people claim to love the Lord. They claim to be reaching people for Him without belonging to a church. Now, I'll be honest. I don't have much time for that. It's like if... Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a little drier here than it is in Sacramento. I'm feeling it again. what would be your reaction this morning if you came into the front doors and someone had cut off their foot and left it in the lobby? Yeah, probably lose our cookies. Yeah, I guess we are close to that. there's nothing honorable about that. It's unnatural. It's gross. A part of the body, apart from the body. You know, again, without beating this illustration absolutely to death, maybe I already have, but oh well. But if a deeper life guy finds himself in an evangelism emphasis church, well, you know what, I don't really fit here. So I'm just going to go to a church down the road and go to this deeper life church. And I'm going to call that unity. Guess what? That's not unity. All you did was you went and made the knee bigger. And you let the foot bigger in the other church. Paul says, let's speak frankly here, verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, guess what? They're indispensable. They're indispensable. Now, some words here that are important. Up to now, he's been talking about the members of the body that are external. You know, feet, eyes, ears, hands, things like that. When it talks about weaker, we're going internal. And the word weaker there does not mean weak as in inappropriate or or in unuseful or inadequate, none of those. We're talking about internal organs. And in one sense, they are weaker than my external organs. They cannot take certain kinds of abuse. My internal organs, my heart and my lungs, guess what? They are not going to survive on the outside of my body. They're weaker in that regard. That's why I've got external parts of my body, to protect my internal organs. How many of you are football fans? Anybody? Okay, a few of you? All right. You like the Super Bowl? I like the Super Bowl. It's always a party, so yeah, it's fun. But what are football players, what do they look like? Anybody? Big. Okay. Are they fat? Well, some, yeah. Okay. But generally, they're just big. You know, they've got muscles on muscles. And they work out, and they, some of them are, of course, they're just big naturally. I mean, you know, you've got like that tall and have to go sideways through that door. But they work out to really build their muscles, and for a couple of reasons. One, of course, is so they can inflict a tremendous amount of damage on their opponents. The other reason is so they can protect their inner organs. So they can protect those weaker parts. Their internal organs aren't any stronger than yours or mine. They really aren't. But their external parts can take severe blows, and they can protect the internal. Now, the other word there that's interesting is indispensable. Indispensable. What's the point? Well, it's this. You can function without eyes. You can function without ears. And you can live without a number of other external parts. Shoot, I've even known people who seemingly survive without a head. But that's a whole other story. But you cannot live without a heart. Well, actually, I know people that try to do that too. But it's unseen. It's weaker. It's not weak as in inadequate. It's not weak as in unnecessary. You die without a brain. You die without a heart. The function of those parts of the body that are visible is to serve as protection for some of the internal parts. And if you ignore them and you despise them and not take care of them, guess what? You're going to die young, aren't you? You're going to die young. Let me look at a different aspect. There are members of the body, and now we're talking physical body, which we deem less honorable or we treat with special honor. The key word here is less honorable. You can see my face. I'm sorry, but you can see my face. You know, and I don't cover it up. Maybe I should, but I don't. That's a part of my body that it's okay to show you. And you guys don't cover up your faces either. But most of my body, I don't show you. In fact, we spend a lot of time making our bodies not just presentable, but presenting them in the best possible light, don't we? Paul goes on to say in verse 23, he says, "And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty." He is saying this, there are parts of my body that are not seen, and just because they aren't seen, it doesn't mean that they aren't important and necessary. So much is unseen. So much, even in this body here, is unseen. A lady who loved her garden, loved her plants, planted a vine that was supposed to produce some beautiful flowers. She planted it next to her fence, she babied it, she pruned it, she watered it, she fertilized it, she did all the things that she was supposed to do to get it to grow these beautiful flowers. Nothing. A few leaves, branches, that was it. And she was so disappointed, and one day she's standing out in her front yard looking at her, it was like a half fence there, and looking at her vine, which was doing nothing, wondering what to do with it, if she should cut it down and start over. And her neighbor, an older woman who was sitting on the porch next door, was in a wheelchair, and she just happened to be sitting out there at the same time, and she yelled over to her neighbor with the plant, You have no idea how much I have enjoyed the beautiful vine that you planted. And the lady kind of, huh? So she walks around the fence, and here it had gone through the fence and sprouted these beautiful flowers all over the fence on the other side. The things you can't see. The things you can't see. I could not stand here before you if certain parts of my body were not functioning. That you can't see. And one of the jobs of the body is to protect those parts so that they can function and to adorn other parts so they are always presented in the best possible light. You see where I'm going with this? I think churches in general are weak here. For instance, in most churches, and I'm sure that at your church as well, there are some tireless workers. There are nursery workers and children's teachers and youth sponsors and sound and worship teams and elders and deacons, and especially as et cetera, whatever, you know, ministries that you guys have. And I would say that most of those people aren't involved in those things because they have to be, or because they feel guilty if they're not. But they have indeed been given a prompting of the Spirit of God and a desire to see certain ministries of the church happen. And in response to God's leading, that prompting, under the headship of Christ, those people are in the body of Christ exactly what they need to be right now. Do we honor them the way that we should? We don't always recognize that those things that need to be done in the body of Christ aren't just jobs. They're ministries. They're ministries. They help the body function. But those behind-the-scenes ministries aren't always apparent. We need to adorn those ministries as well. And we need to say, listen, there are all sorts of different functions, and none is better or worse than another. There's not one that we exalt above another, so encourage and appreciate those who help you build this important ministry, those unsung heroes that are part of this important part of the body of Christ right here at South Jordan Community Church. When you are ministered to in the morning service, those of you who have young children and men alive, you had a bunch here for a little church. Wow. That's awesome. I think that's so great. But you are freed up from distraction because others have taken on themselves the ministry of the children's ministry and the nursery and stuff like that. There are ministries that uphold your church that are the heart and guts of your church. You begin to see that you've all been placed into the body for a purpose. And that purpose begins to be identified to you by the Lord as He calls you. I'm guessing that Pastor Steve, when he was here, really didn't want to come to you and tell you how to get involved. Now, you know what? You need to do this. And you over here, you need to do this. And you over here, you need to do this. And now, there is a place for that, okay? There is a place for that. But basically, you personally need to get before the Lord and say, God, why do you have me here? What did you create me to do? What is my role? Am I a knee? Am I a hand? Am I an eye or a nose? Am I, whatever it may be. What kind of desires are you giving me? And then you know what you do? You start to do it. You start to do it. Whatever that is. And you do it all under the subjection of the head who is Christ. And God begins to pump life into you. And as every different concern and ministry that needs to be happening in the body of Christ is accepted by individuals of those desires, the body begins to function. And it stands up and begins to look like what? It begins to look like Jesus. Begins to look like our Lord. Otherwise, it just looks like a bunch of people who call themselves a church, and anybody can do that. You know, a few years ago, I was coming back from Annapolis on the East Coast, And I was sitting by a guy. We begin to talk. And he asked me what I did. And I said, well, I help people plant churches. He said, really? I want to plant a church. How do you do that? So we started talking about it. And a couple of minutes into the conversation, I thought, I have no idea what kind of church this guy wants to plant. I better find out. And so I asked him, and he said, an atheist church. Just when you think you've heard it all. I just kind of, huh? Turned out to be Mike Newdow. I don't know if that name is familiar with any of you. He was the one that sued to change the Pledge of Allegiance. And he lives in Sacramento. And interestingly enough, we have become good friends. And since we both live in Sacramento, we'll get together from time to time for coffee or for lunch or whatever. And it's really interesting. I know that God has brought me into his life for a purpose. And I'm trusting that someday God is going to use it to change his life. We'll see. Brilliant man, you know. He's a doctor, a medical doctor, and a lawyer. Brilliant. Not one shred of common sense. But you know what? I respect him. He respects me. Obviously, we don't agree, but we have some very interesting conversations, as you can well imagine. But anyway, so anybody can call themselves a church, even a bunch of atheists, which to me, those two just don't go together, but that's okay. There's a lot I don't understand. But you see, here's the crux in verses 18 through 20. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Here's my question for you. Are we paying enough attention and seeking him to the point of knowing what part he has created us for, what part he wants us to play? It all comes down to the listening. It all comes down to the seeking, to asking him for wisdom and being open to what he says. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of us, just as he wants us to be. What is your part? And are you being faithful to that part for his glory? Are you listening to him in the day-to-day, in the moment-by-moment as he leads and guides? Great story that I want to end with here. Charles Harvey of Grand Prairie, Texas. He was on his way to a job interview. He was running late, and he was attempting to make a good impression, of course, to, you know, getting there on time and all that kind of stuff. And as he was driving down the highway, he came upon a middle-aged woman who had a flat tire. The weather was bad. She obviously didn't know what she was doing, but he thought, you know what? I can't stop because I'm going to be late. I need this job. And God just kind of put his finger right in the center of his brain and said, stop. And he's going, God, I can't stop. You know, I need this job. And the Lord said, no, you need to stop. Okay. So he stopped. Helped the woman change her tire, headed on, knowing that at this point he could probably kiss the job goodbye because he was late. He got there, rushed in, filled out the paperwork anyway. He went in to the meet with the personnel director. She came into the office, took one look at him, and hired him on the spot. Guess who she was? The woman whose tire he had stopped to change. You never know what God will do when you are in a position to listen to him. Doing what he wants you to do. This is especially true now. This is especially true with the situation you are in as you begin to search for a new pastor. You will all need to serve where God is asking you to serve. There isn't a single person in here that is exempt from God's calling. He has placed a calling on each one of your lives. everyone in this room. And while that is always true, this body really needs you now, as never before. They need your calling. They need your hands. They need your feet. They need your head, your heart, your eyes, your ears, and yes, they even need your mouth. This body needs you. You are indispensable. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for these dear people. I want to praise you for this wonderful congregation, this congregation that I have been connected with for a long time now. Lord, I am so proud of what you have accomplished through them. And I am so grateful for how you have used them in this community that for some time was the only non-Mormon church in South Jordan. Father, you have used this church to change lives. You have used this church to impact this community. Father, continue to use them as they serve together in unity, listening to you to see what you would do through them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.